So we are coming to, as we've heard about today, that the feet today might not be something you initially think about when you're thinking about putting on armour, about what's going to be on your feet. But as we see, it's going to be really important. I hope we illustrate that from a spiritual perspective as well. So we're about halfway through now. We will be by the end. Yeah, thanks. Okay, I don't know if you want to do that or anything. Okay, so Feet of the Gospel of Peace is number 3. And the whole verse is the feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. So I wanted to highlight about that readiness, and I wanted to explore a bit about what it means to be, first of all, battle ready, but what does that involve from a spiritual perspective, and how do we get ready for spiritual battle? And then I've highlighted a bit of the gospel of peace. So that's really key to being ready. It comes from this place of peace. And as we're going to talk about, this isn't just like being chilled. It's a bit more than that. This is more active. It's not a passive situation, this peace. It's actually a really active place to be. It involves being in this state of readiness and actually doing something as well, rather than just kind of chillaxing and doing nothing. And I don't know about you, but I want a bit of that. Okay, so we're going to have a look at what the Roman soldiers wore on their feet, because Paul was seeing this all the time. He would have seen, so it's likely that he would have been thinking about what the Roman soldiers were wearing when he was writing this passage. Although, and I won't give it away, Nancy, there might be other interpretations. Maybe we'll hear about those later. So, here are a pair of sandals that the Romans would have worn. To be honest, I don't think I'd really want to walk into battle with these. I mean, for the Roman soldiers in the Mediterranean climes, these probably would have suited them very well. They're quite ventilated with the nice straps, so you've got plenty of air coming into your feet in those nice warm climate. But curiously, on the bottom, they've got these metal bits, which apparently weren't standard issue in the army. The soldiers had to put these in themselves. And these little steel posts enabled them to be able to cover lots of different terrain. Obviously, you were going to be able to go up steep banks, you were going to be able to dig your feet in, you were going to be able to, if they were slippery, they'd allow you to get some grip. So I think that we're probably looking at these sandals being able to help the soldiers go on the offensive, on the attack, because they'd be able to keep moving over different terrain. But also, they enabled the soldiers to stand steady if they needed to dig into the soil. So they were defensive as well. So ready to move, but also ready to stand firm. So what does this mean from a spiritual perspective? Well, we know that we're going to get attacked, okay, from Satan. We know that there are going to be things he's going to fire at us. That's life, unfortunately. These arrows, and actually we've already sort of talked about some of this today, flaming arrows could be things like doubt, you know, like you're not good enough, those kind of things that slip in. Or, why did you muck up and do that? That was stupid. You get those voices sometimes in your head. You know, the devil, he prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. That's a pretty ferocious image. But we've also been singing about our God who is just above all of this. And we don't need to fear it. So you, dear children, are from God and have overcome them because the one that is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. 1 John 4:4. We don't need to fear. So because of that, we can take this, stand and be firm in God's word. We don't need to run away. We can remain committed to following God, listening to him, trusting what he says, doing what he asks of us, believing what he says about us, about who we are in him and what he's done for us. We need to be convinced of what we're standing on and what we're standing for. So when these flaming arrows come, these doubt, we can say, but God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him will have eternal life. You know, we can believe that deep love that God has for us. I mean, we don't need to know any more than that, do we? I mean, that's it. We can just go, get down. That's it. So the other thing that helps, of course, is obviously that awareness for us, that standing firm in God's faith, but is sharing our faith with others as well. And then this is really important, and it's not an option, I'm afraid, everyone. It's something we need to do. And it doesn't mean we have to go out there and all be raving evangelists on street corners and whatever. But it does mean that we need to pray about opportunities to speak to people that we meet. And be prepared to just, even maybe in quite a small way, say something. I was at work the other day and my team lead was going through quite a difficult time with her son. He was going to... He'd been to the GP with him. He has very, very fair skin. And he had this mole on his back, which the GP really didn't like the look of, and referred him for the two-week wait. It was, very quick. And she took one look of it, and my team lead, who knows a little bit about these things, took one look at it and was like, oh, crumbs, this isn't good. Well, I just happened to say to her, well, I'll be praying for him. Now, I know she's not a Christian, and she knows I go to church. And she gave quite a sarcastic comment. And I wasn't surprised particularly, because she's going through a lot of stress. Fair enough. But it set me back a bit, and I did sort of feel a bit, despondent. And I didn't know whether to say anything else, but I kept praying. But anyway, interestingly... his appointment came through very quickly. They saw a top dermatologist. It came through remarkably quick. I mean, within 48 hours of finding out, the dermatologist had seen him, had been able to scan his skin with a very special instrument that looked under the skin and declared that this wasn't cancer. Praise God. And she actually also, interestingly, was talking about praying that whole time for those 48 hours afterwards. So although I took her sarcastic comment to be a sort of, she didn't want anything to do with that, either something had landed through what I'd said, or maybe something was there anyway. And it's really important to take this opportunity just to say something, because you just never know what you might trigger. Okay. And I've just got this quote, because I think it's a great one about sharing your faith. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope you have. It is a hope. So, we've talked about being ready, standing firm, and sharing our faith as part of that readiness. Now we're going to sort of talk more about peace, the gospel of peace. So, this lovely quote here. The Old Testament is full of pieces of battle equipment that are described by Paul in Ephesians, and particularly Isaiah. And this verse here talks about the feet. So how beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation, who say to Zion, your God reigns. Isaiah 52:7. The feet on the mountain are beautiful because of the message that they're bringing, the message that God has sent his son to die in our place, that we might live eternally with him. And I guess even more importantly than that eternal life is the fact that we've got harmony with God. We've got harmony and peace with God, his creator, because of what he's done for us. So, gospel. Margie talked earlier about gospel meaning good news, and you might well know that it comes, the root word in Old English is Godspell, which I think was a musical a long time ago, wasn't it? Yeah, well, my mum remembers it, yeah. And Godspell is also the translation of the Greek, now I probably will mispronounce this, euangelion, which is the root word for evangelism. So, coming back to this about sharing our faith again. The good news, the gospel of peace, is the good news of Jesus' sacrifice made for all. It's forever. It doesn't just stop with the living. It settles what happens when we die. And this peace is not, as we said before, sort of passive, but it's active. It's transformative. So you see, once you know what Jesus has done for you, once you have this in your heart, you can't be the same again. Yes, you can get knocked by things that come through, the flaming arrows, as we talked about, those doubts and things that creep in. But ultimately, if you know this, then you know where you're heading, and you know that Jesus is on your side and that he reigns over all the problems that you can, that you might encounter. So, peace. The Greek word for peace in Ephesians 6:15 is irene. Is that pronounced right? I don't know. Which is the New Testament parallel to shalom. And shalom being the Hebrew word for peace, it's not, as we said at the beginning, just a sort of state of being a bit chilled out. It's so much more than that. It's a state of wholeness, completion, and well-being. So it's like this deeply entrenched sense of harmony. So regardless of the chaos that's going on around you, you can feel a sense of this God's peace. In fact, it's probably even better measured against the backdrop of chaos and confusion, because when there's that instability, the true peace is steadfast, a peace that we talk about passes all understanding. So from a human perspective, it's unfathomable, but it's coming from a supernatural place. There was a YouTube video that I just saw of a guy who had cancer when he was younger, and his stepfather had cancer too, and then his uncle, about the same time, committed suicide. There was a lot of things going on for this chap. And he hadn't been to church. His wife had clearly got some faith from the past, and she, I mean, he was to the point where he felt suicidal himself. And his wife just said, look, I think we ought to go to church. And actually, he was willing to go. I don't think previously it's something he'd really thought about, but at this point, he wanted to go. And he went to church and really felt that God was speaking directly to him within the service. And within a few weeks, had been baptized with his wife, actually, in the pool at the same time, which was amazing. Now, nothing about his situation, his circumstances, had changed in that his stepfather was still very unwell. His uncle had lost, you know, had taken his life. He was no longer with them. And he potentially could have been feeling the same, but he didn't. He felt changed deep within himself. And he looked different. He was just responding to everything differently, because he'd found that deep peace given by God. Just had given him a sense of wholeness, completion, and an entrenched sense of harmony. So how do we put on these shoes of peace? There's a verse that talks about in Colossians, let the peace of Christ rule your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace, and be thankful. Robin's actually invited us to do that already today, to pray out, say prayers of thanks to God. Choosing these prayers of thankfulness that we're concentrated on God's truth, rather than being absorbed by our overwhelming circumstances. Now, you might say, well, that's all well and good, but, you know, sometimes I'm really not feeling thankful, quite frankly. So what then? I think Cara Lorman once talked about what she used to do as a really practical thing. If you're, I don't know, you might be sat in your car or just sat wherever you are, and you start just observing things around you, start thanking God for them. So she would say, thank you, God, for my wing mirrors that just enable me to see people when they're coming up the side, or thank you for my comfortable seat that I'm sat on, or thank you that I've got aircon in the car on this really hot day, or I can actually wind the windows down, or whatever it might be. Things that might seem quite small, and why would you want to start praying about those? But actually, they're getting you into that thankfulness frame of mind. And actually from that, then started to come, and she started to pray, and it was just all flowing from her. And then she was giving much more of her attention to God. And that turning our attention to God is really key. So when those anxieties creep in, we turn to him, we pray to him, we trust him, and we're grateful for what he has done for us. It may be that you want to choose, I don't know, three things that you wake up and you say, God, I'm grateful for these three things today. But that's how we get those shoes of peace, by spending time with God and thanking him for what he's done. So, to summarise, we've talked about getting battle ready, standing firm in what God said, what he stands for, and sharing our faith. And we've discussed why that's important, because we want to claim that territory from the enemy, and we want to demonstrate our trust in God. That gives the enemy a bit of a blow. And we've talked about putting on the shoes of peace and how we turn our attention to God and we're thankful to him. So I'd like to finish by praying. Lord, when the ground feels unsteady, may I stand firmly in your peace. Lord, when I am called to move, may I walk boldly, knowing you have already won. And Lord, when I feel insecure, may I know that nothing separates me from your love. Amen.